8, the giant donut. You'll have to leave the squirrel in the car, said Flora's father as he pulled into the parking lot of the giant donut. No, said Flora, it's too hot. I'll leave the windows down, said her father. Someone will steal him. You think someone would steal him? Her father sounded doubtful, but hopeful. Who would steal a squirrel? A criminal, said Flora. The criminal element spoke often and passionately about the nefarious activities that every human being is capable of. Not only did it insist that human heart was dark beyond all reckoning, it also likened the heart to a river. And further, it said, if we are not careful, that river can carry us along in its hidden currents of want and anger and need, and transform each of us into the very criminal we fear. The human heart is a deep, dark river with hidden currents, Flora said to her father. Criminals are everywhere. Her father tapped his fingers on the steering wheel. I wish I could disagree with you, but I can't. Ulysses sneezed. Bless you, said her father. I'm not leaving him, said Flora. Alfred T. Slipper took his parakeet Dolores with him everywhere, sometimes even to the offices of the Paxatawket Life Insurance Company. Not without my parakeet, is what Alfred said. Not without my squirrel, said Flora. If her father recognized the sentence, if the words reminded him of their time together reading about Incandesto, he didn't show it. He merely sighed. Bring him in then, he said, but keep the lid on the shoebox. Ulysses climbed into the shoebox, and Flora dutifully lowered the lid on his small face. Okay, she said. All right. She climbed out of the car, and then she stood and looked up at the giant donut. Giant donuts inside, the sign screamed in neon letters, while an extremely large donut disappeared over and over again into a giant cup of coffee. But there was no hand on the donut. Who, Flora wondered, is doing the dunking? A small shiver ran down her spine. What if we're all donuts just waiting to be dunked, she thought. It was the kind of question that William Spiver would ask. She could hear him asking it. It was also the kind of question that William Spiver would have an answer for. That was the thing about William Spiver. He always had an answer, even if it was an annoying one. Listen to me, she whispered to the shoebox. You are not a donut waiting to be dunked. You're a superhero. Do not let yourself be tricked or fooled. Remember the shovel. Keep an eye on George Buckman. Her father got out of the car. He put his hands in his pockets and jingled his change. Shall we? He said. Stall! Delay! Obfuscate! Let's, said Flora. Chapter 29. Coochie Coo. The giant donut smelled like fried eggs and donuts and other people's closets. The dining room was full of laughter and donut dunking. A waitress sat Flora and her father at a booth in the corner and handed them a glossy, enormous menu. Flora, surreptitiously, the criminal element recommended surreptitious actions at all possible times, removed the lid from the shoebox. Ulysses poked his head out and looked around the restaurant. And then he turned his head to the menu. He stared at it with a dreamy look on his face. Get whatever you want, said Flora's father. Order to your heart's desire. Ulysses emitted a happy sigh. Pay attention, whispered Flora. A waitress came and stood over them. She tapped her pencil on the order pad. What can I get you? She said. Her name's tag spelled out her name in all capital letters. Rita. Flora narrowed her eyes. There was an exclamation point that made Rita seem untrustworthy, or at the very least, insincere. Well, said Rita, what's it going to be? Her hair was piled up very, very high on her head. She looked like Marie Antoinette. Not that Flora had ever seen Marie Antoinette, but she had read about her in Terrible Things Can Happen to You, an issue on the French Revolution. Marie Antoinette, from the little bit that Flora knew about her, would have made a very bad waitress. Flora suddenly remembered that she had a squirrel in her lap. She tapped Ulysses on the head again. Lie low, she whispered to him, but be prepared. She arranged the washcloth so that he was almost completely hidden. What you got there? Asked Rita. Where? Said Flora. In the box, said Rita. Got a baby doll in the box? Are you talking to your baby doll? Talking to my baby doll? Said Flora. She felt a flush of outrage crawl up her cheeks. For the love of Pete, she was 10 years old, almost 11. She knew how to administer CPR. She knew how to outwit an arch nemesis. She was acquainted with the profound importance of seal blubber. She was the sidekick to a superhero. Plus, she was a cynic. Which self-respecting cynic would carry around a doll in a shoebox? I do not, said Flora, have a baby doll. Let me see her, said Rita. Don't be shy. She bent over, her big Marie Antoinette hair scraped against Flora's chin. No, said Flora. George Buckman, said Flora's father in a worried voice. How do you do? Coochie-coo, said Rita. Flora felt a very pointed, very specific sense of doom. Rita poked her pencil into the shoebox slowly, slowly. She moved the washcloth around, slowly. And the washcloth, oh so slowly, fell back and revealed Ulysses' whiskered face. George Buckman, said her father in a much louder voice. How do you do? Rita screamed a long and impossibly loud scream. Ulysses screamed in return, and then he leaped from the shoebox. At this point, things stopped proceeding at such a leisurely pace. The squirrel was airborne, and time swung back into action with a vengeance. At last, thought Flora, it's incandesto time. Chapter 30, Sunny Side Up. He had never been so frightened in his life. Never. The woman's face was monstrous. Her hair was monstrous. And the word on her name tag, Rita, appeared monstrous to him too. Be calm, he told himself as she poked her pencil around. He held himself as still as he could. But then Rita screamed. It was absolutely impossible not to answer her long, piercing shriek with a piercing shriek of his own. She screamed, he screamed, and then every one of his animal instincts kicked in. He acted without thinking. He tried to escape. He leaped from the box and ended up, somehow, exactly where he did not want to be, in the middle of the monstrous hair. Rita jumped up and down. She put her hands to her head. She swatted and she clawed, trying to dislodge him. The harder she hit him, the higher she jumped, and the more fiercely the squirrel clung on. In this way, Rita and Ulysses danced together around the giant donut. What's happening? Someone shouted. Her face is on fire, someone else answered. No, no, there's something in her hair, another person shouted. It's alive! Ah, screamed Rita, help me! How, Ulysses wondered, had things gone so wrong? Moments ago, he'd been looking at the giant donut menu, captivated by the glossy pictures of food and the dazzling descriptions that went with them. There were giant donuts with sprinkles, giant donuts powdered and iced, giant donuts filled with things, jelly, cream, chocolate. He had never had a giant donut. Actually, he'd never had any kind of donut, and they looked delicious, all of them. How was a squirrel to choose? And to complicate matters, there were eggs. Scrambled, poached, over easy, sunny side up. Sunny side up, thought Ulysses as he clung on to Rita's hair. What a wonderful phrase. A man emerged from the kitchen. He had on a gigantic white hat, and he was holding something metal that flashed in the overhead lights of the giant donut. It was a knife. Help me, screamed Rita. And me, thought Ulysses. Help me too. But he was quite certain that the man with the knife had no intention of helping him. And then he heard Flora's voice. He couldn't see her because Rita was now spinning around and everything in the restaurant had become blurred. All of the faces were now one face and all of the screams were one scream. But Flora's voice stood out. It was the voice of a person he loved. He concentrated on her words and he worked hard to understand her. Ulysses, she shouted. Ulysses, remember who you are. Remember who he was? Who was he? As if Flora had heard his unspoken question, she answered him, You're Ulysses. That's right, he thought. I am. Act, shouted Flora. This was good advice. Flora was absolutely right. He was Ulysses, and he must act. The man with the knife stepped towards Rita. Ulysses loosened his hold on her hair, and he leaped again. This time, he leaped with purpose and with